Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio this morning, some guests from the Sitka Historical Museum, and Bill DeArmond is here as well. Jackie Fernandez is the curator of the Sitka Historical Museum, Bob Mettinger, the director. And Bill, I guess you're the moderator of honor in the acquisition of the Dale DeArmond collection.
Well, I wasn't directly involved in the negotiations by which the Historical Society Museum managed to acquire this material, but I'm certainly glad they've got it and that it has a permanent home in Sitka, which was always my mother's favorite place, even though she lived almost 40 years in Juneau.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about how the acquisition was made and the importance of it. But first off, I wonder, Jackie and Bob, if you could describe what's sitting out on the table right now in our main library. It's really an interesting piece of art.
Well, it's a phenomenal handmade book, and it has a black silk cover and back. If you can imagine, it's shaped sort of like a house. And Dale actually didn't construct the book, but she did make the 12 prints that are within it. And there are these 12 beautiful, hand-colored, very colorful, ornately detailed prints that were inspired by a series of photographs at the Alaska State Historical Collections Library. And when you look at the images, every single one shows an Alaskan native dressed in traditional garb and with, you know, a beautiful hat on. And it's just a very stunning, detailed piece.
And Dale colored each print individually.
Mm-hmm. And printed them as well. It's also, it's also a limited edition. Only five were made. So we're very fortunate to be able to have the opportunity to try to acquire these when we have our event this Thursday.
Bill, do you remember your mother making that object?
I do, in fact. She worked on the prints over a series of years. She did what she called the hat series, which was illustrating Alaska Natives, not just local Tlingit people, but Aleut and Eskimo people as well, in traditional headgear and headpieces, real regalia that had, the photographs at least, had been preserved. And when she finally had enough of them, she worked out with a bookbinder in Juneau, a woman named Artemis Bonadilla, who made beautiful hand-bound books and boxes to come up with this very special, I don't know what to call it except a book, but it isn't a book in any traditional sense. But it holds 12 of these prints, and all collapses together and then unfolds sort of like an accordion, so you can see the prints housed within it. It was made to suggest a Tlingit longhouse.
Yeah, it reminds me of it like a big camera bellows or something that just kind of stretches out, and the images are kind of interwoven in all the different angles and things. Bob, I know the Sitka Historical Museum is already bursting at the seams, but I've never seen you as excited about anything practically as I've seen you about acquiring this material.
You're right, as I think about it. You know, I had seen some of Dale's work and some of her books, and I'd seen a print once in a while here and there. I never had a clue the length and breadth of how many pieces she did in her whole career, much less being able to see the full hat series in its full glory, and then this Raven series we're going to talk about. The other thing, Rob, too, is we haven't acquired it yet. We've made a down payment on it, and the fundraiser this Thursday, besides people coming in to see it for $35, you know, we're also hoping people might bring out the old checkbook and help us acquire this. So that is the major effort, and then it will be on display both Friday and Saturday from 2 till 6 Friday and 2 till 8 for people to see. So, and then besides that, Jackie, it's more than just the prints. Well, tell them about the other stuff we've got.
Well, in addition to the 30 prints, which were made with woodcuts for the Raven series, we're also acquiring 11 of the hand-carved yellow cedar blocks that Dale made to make those prints. And as far as the lovely three-dimensional piece of artwork, the the book that opens up that Bill was describing, we'll be acquiring 9 of the wood engraving blocks that were used to create that piece. And in terms of what this means to the historical society and to the community of Sitka, I just want to stress that Dale DeArmond not only loves Sitka, but her inspiration and interest in Tlingit lore and in ravens and creating these types of pieces was born in this town when she was living here. It meant a lot to her, so I think it will be a tremendous addition to our collection. We don't have any pieces by her currently, and so many things leave Sitka. It would be wonderful to bring these back.
Jackie, you mentioned that Dale had sort of 2 different approaches to her woodcuts. There's kind of a larger, more heavily inked style, and then a finer, kind of a finer detailed block. Could you talk about those a little bit?
Oh, sure. Well, the Raven series was produced using woodcuts, and the result is a much more bold kind of print. The details are not as fine, but it's still visually very, very beautiful. And she was doing woodcuts earlier on in her life, and from what I understand, Bill might correct me, but wood engravings, which are created using a different type of tool, use a burn as opposed to a chisel and an X-Acto knife, and it's far easier on the hands to create, but wood engraving became her favorite medium, as far as I know, and that was how she created the blocks that are smaller in size that were used to make the very elegant Alaska Native Ceremonial Hat series. And the details are more fine. There's smaller chunks of large black space. And really, to be able to acquire the prints and a significant number of blocks that were used to make these pieces is really a wonderful thing.
Yeah, just the blocks themselves are beautiful. It's kind of startling how beautiful they are, because I've never actually seen one. I've seen, you know, her prints are everywhere. They're kind of ubiquitous. Bill, I'm almost tempted to say there's kind of a DeArmond school of wood engraving.
She did teach wood engraving here for several years. Rebecca Polson and Nancy Benkin were among her star pupils. I just wanted to say about the different media that wood cuts are done in the plank side, plank grain of relatively soft wood like yellow cedar, such as she used. And there's a lot of physical work cutting them with gouges and chisels and printing them. They have to be printed by hand because the blocks aren't even and you can't print them in a press, whereas wood engraving is done in the end grain of extremely hard wood, boxwood or rock maple, and with engraver's tools, same as almost exactly identical to the tools you'd use to engrave copper or silver. And it uses the hands, and they can be printed in an etching press. So it's there's a lot less physical hard work involved in turning out the wood engravings, which is one of the main reasons she switched media. She also tried silk screens and litho quite a bit in between, looking for an alternative to woodcuts.
So did she have her studio in your home when you were growing up?
She did in Juneau. Yes, she had her. She did her printing in the basement and did her cutting there and on the kitchen table. And actually, it was sort of a dim, dark, small basement. But she had a much better setup after she moved into the Pioneers' home here in 1991, because they had she could set up her press and in the recreation shop, and had a nice, well-lighted place to work, which was sort of brand new to her.
And between Bob, your father's stuff, Bob's historical collections, was there any room for you to have any fun at all at home?
Not very much. You had to sort of edge your way in and out of their quarters there at the Pioneer's home.
All right. It must have been amazing to kind of witness the growth of both your parents in a way as kind of major figures in Alaska's history and art. And so it's this Thursday.
Thursday, 6:30 at Centennial, and we're taking over the entire exhibit room. Both rooms will be open up. We're actually starting to set up tomorrow, because it's going to take quite a bit of effort to really display this stuff as it should be. And Jackie and I are pretty excited about how that'll go. So 6:30 till 9, that will be open. Complimentary wine, beer, and hors d'oeuvres. Of course, Bill speaking, but Rebecca Polson also. She, as a student, and knowing some of the techniques and tools, will be there. And then we will have the exhibit open to the public Friday, 2 till 6, and Saturday 2 till 8. And then, as Jackie said, we'll try to move it in the museum probably on Sunday. So it's a fundraiser for us to bring these pieces to Sitka, and we're just looking forward to it and hope people come out and support us.
Okay, and we're just about out of time, but Jackie, I gather you've been pretty busy sanding and...
I've been wearing my Carhartts priming and painting.
to get the installation mm-hmm. ready.
Exactly.
Yeah, and will this be... Is the Darmond collection going to be sort of, is there going to be permanent space for it in the historical museum, or has that yet to be arranged?
Perhaps not everything will be on display permanently. We like to rotate our collection, but we do hope to have it on display for quite some time after we have taken it out of the exhibit room and brought it back into the museum. We have a little bit more of space constraints on the exhibit floor. But we do hope to have a significant number of the pieces out, and the mill walls will be up with the prints on them. That's definitely true.
Okay, and as you mentioned, Bob, this is just kind of you're trying to connect the dots here in terms of finances and able to be in order to acquire the whole.
Yes, it's actually going to be our largest purchase in the history of the society, and we've gotten, we think, a very fair deal from an anonymous seller, and we've made a down payment, but it really is a fundraiser to help us finish off this purchase and bring it. The seller has donated these pieces to us to help us with the fundraisers. That's why they're all here already. So,
mm-hmm. Yep. Well, Sitka is it is an artistic community. We're sort of lucky in the amount of art that occurs here, but this is kind of iconic Southeast Alaska, and the images are so strong. And again, there's this legacy of woodcuts that have. That has sort of stemmed from Dale's art that I think this is probably not to be missed. I mean, everybody who's wearing a Raven Radio t-shirt, for crying out loud, is walking around with a Dale DeArmond woodcut or a bumper sticker or something.
She devised those, correct.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, it's going to be 6:30 on Thursday, the opening. Bill, you're going to be speaking that night about your mother's art, and there's going to be hors d'oeuvres, wine, beer. Then the exhibit will continue to be on display through Saturday.
So tickets at Old Harbor, at the museum, and the door.
All right. Thanks a lot for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
I've been joined by Jackie Fernandez, the curator of the Sitka Historical Museum, Bill DeArmond, who is the son of artist Dale DeArmond, and Bob Menninger, the director of the Sitka Historical Museum.